I'd ask the clerk to take the roll call, and obviously Resin Bobber remote. So I call.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis. Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
President Medusi.
Here. If I can get a motion to allow Trustee Vasquez and Trustee O'Connell to join remotely due to work obligation.
Motion to allow Trustee Vasquez and Trustee O'Connell to participate in tonight's meeting virtually due to work matters.
Second.
Okay. Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, I think to be safe.
Do I have to vote? Yeah, I think I should vote because we have only three. No worries.
President Medusi?
Yes. Okay. Okay, thanks. All right. Well, if I can ask everyone to stand to do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance. For which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice.
Okay. Well, we're a lot of people are here because we have really a special occasion to honor and recognize Chief O'Shea, who is retiring from the force after 7 years of being the chief and a little over 30 years as being a police officer here in River Forest. And so we're very proud that he is here with his family and his daughter and probably others. I know Matt and his wife are here too. So I want to say thank you to everyone for being here, as well as the police officers who support Jim and the department. So we do have a proclamation that I'd like to read, and then I'd ask Jim to step to the podium and accept it. And if you'd like to say a few words to us, that'd be wonderful. So it's a proclamation in recognition of the police chief, James O'Shea, distinguished service and retirement. Jim O'Shea has announced his retirement as police chief of River Forest Police Department, effective April 30th, 2025, after a distinguished law enforcement career spanning over three decades. Chief O'Shea began his career in law enforcement in 1999 with a clerk of the Circuit Court of Cook County before joining the River Forest Police Department in 1995 as a patrol officer, where he rose through the ranks to detective, detective unit supervisor, patrol sergeant, patrol division commander, deputy chief, and ultimately police chief in January of 2018. And Chief O'Shea's leadership has had profound impact on the River Forest Police Department. He's modernized the department with the introduction of innovative technologies and systems, including the first officer peer support program, officer wellness program, license plate readers, village-wide street camera system, body-worn cameras, and various pursuit and mitigation technologies. Chief O'Shea has consistently prioritized the well-being of his officers and the safety of the community by fostering a culture of professional development, training, and internal advancement, as well as implementing the first lateral hiring program to improve recruitment and retention efforts. Under his leadership, the River Forest Police Department successfully navigated significant challenges, including the global pandemic, civil unrest, national police reform, and industry-wide staffing shortages, all while maintaining a focus on community engagement through initiatives such as the quarterly community safety meetings. Chief O'Shea has earned numerous accolades, including the Illinois Bar Association Law Enforcement Award and the Partners in Service Award from Thrive Counseling Center, and has been an active participant in various law enforcement and community organizations, further demonstrating his commitment to public service. Chief O'Shea's dedication to the River Forest community, his innovative leadership, and his unwavering commitment to public safety have greatly strengthened the River Forest Police Department and the village as a whole. So therefore, I, Catherine Medusi, president of the Village of River Forest, do extend my deepest gratitude and congratulations to Police Chief Jim O'Shea for exemplary service to the River Forest Police Department and the Village of River Forest. We thank him for his leadership, sacrifice, and the positive impact he has made on the community. Very good.
We have, in addition to the proclamation that we voted on and passed, we also have a certificate of recognition by our Senator President Don Harmon, and which was voted on at during session. So there's a lot here, so I won't read it, but it had everything to do with your accolades and everything that you've done for us. So on behalf of Senator Harmon and his staff, he wanted to recognize you as well. So here are all the wonderful things. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam President. You know, tonight's about just thanking a lot of people. We've talked about the things we've done. I've had an amazing team over the while being chief and before that. And I wouldn't have been probably rise to chief without having that support along the way. One thing I first want to recognize, of course, is the village president. We've sat down many a times, and before I was hired as chief, and we talked about my vision or the direction the department should be going. And she shared a lot of those same ideas and visions. A lot of changes that, you know, when people said, oh, you're going to be chief, it's going to be fine. You're going to leave early every day. No problem. All the things that Kathy mentioned occurred, pandemics and unrest and staffing, all that stuff occurred. So it wasn't that turnkey, do nothing. It was boots on the ground every day, fighting for the residents and fighting for the officers. I also want to recognize the different village boards I've worked for. You guys have been very supportive and asked the appropriate questions. Matt Walsh, Matt's my fifth village administrator that I've worked for. What's interesting, he's my third as chief of police that, that I've worked for. You know, while I was on the police department, I worked for five chiefs of police. I'm going to say now, Matt. Yes, Matt, you were my best and my favorite. You know, but there's been that support coming from the elected officials, the Board and Fire Police Commission, especially, which all of us hands on, Matt and Kathy, to keep those staffing up, to move into laterals, to look at how we're recruiting and hiring people. And that's been excellent. Partnerships in the community. I see our Park District is out here. We've always had a strong relationship with the Park District, Community Center, Thrive, all the different school systems in within the village and the religious institutions, plus the business community, which is the residents expect a certain level of service, and we've been able to offer it here. And it's sort of become a model for some other agencies that come in, like to see what we're doing, and they steal it and bring it back to the, why reinvent the wheel, right? Now I want to move on to some other people, the officers on the department, some that are cutting cake, some that are in the back here. Really, they're the ones out there 24/7 on the streets. When stuff's going bad on midnights, they're out there protecting your homes, protecting the businesses, and making sure that everyone's able to wake up and hopefully nothing's missing from their cars or garages or driveways. We've had some major crimes in here, and through our partnerships with the major crime task forces we've been involved in, we've solved those crimes. We've made arrests. There's been indictments. And once again, those are the officers here that are work on the different task forces. Those are West Staff, the Major Crimes Task Force. We have NYPES, which is one of our support groups. Mobile Field Force, Bike Patrol. Is here tonight. Do we have a couple guys out doing bike patrol tonight? You can recognize them with the different uniform. You know, really having that group of sergeants and patrol officers acting like a family and looking out for each other, and not just on duty, but off duty to make sure there's not mistakes being made or advice that's not available. Wellness is extremely important. I know these officers will carry that on, because if the officers aren't happy at home or in their personal lives, they bring it here. And this is the worst environment to bring any type of problems to. So I'm very proud of all of them, and I'm going to miss all of them. I also want to talk about the village staff. Now, I only have 30 seconds to talk about them, But really, Luke, Jessica, Jack, Dave, Tom Gardner has been a great partner on the public safety side, wealth of knowledge, and I've really enjoyed my time working with him. Rosie, I had Rosie number one that I worked with. Then she left and went to Schaumburg, and I got Rosie then number two after Schaumburg. And she's part of the process of funding the great projects and programs that we do. So she's been a great partner, and there's nothing like working with the Irish. You know, we're a special group of people, you know, and one of the things is selecting people that aren't part of the same thought process or same personalities is having a command team that's across the board. And I've had that with Jim Greenwood, soon to be Chief Jim Greenwood. Mike Swierczynski is back here, still another great up and comer. He'll be your next deputy chief. And I look forward to seeing those guys sworn in. Marty Grill will be the new patrol commander. We have a new sergeant that's been named by the Board and Fire Police Commission, Dan Humphreys. This is all great, part of a great succession plan that we worked out with Kathy and Matt. And it's very important because some organizations aren't as forward thinking as River Forest when it comes to succession plan. And then they're stuck with, do you do an outside, you know, bring in the consultants and do a nationwide search. And amazingly, you end up back here, but then you're $60,000 or $80,000 poor. Mm-hmm. So I think it was good decisions. And working on this early, you know, gave them the confidence to know it was the right direction to go. Now, there's a couple of people in the room here I better mention, or my evening won't right. go as well yeah. either. So first, I want to recognize my wife, Lori, who's here.
Yeah.
And you know what? To have to deal with someone that's been a police officer for 30 years, she is going to heaven.
Yeah.
She deserves everything that comes with it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Luckily, her dad was a Forest Park firefighter, so she knew a little bit what she was getting into. But without her, it would have been extremely difficult to navigate the good and the bad, and I'll say the ugly again, that occurs within this this industry. I also have this amazing daughter, Grace.
Yay.
And Grace is a sophomore at Nazareth, ladies, but it's okay because I went to Fenwick. So yeah. I have my brother here, which I'll mention in a second. So it's okay. That's why I put you guys in front.
Yeah,
you guys right. are fine. But Grace has been part of the journey, at least for 16 years of it. And she's learned a lot. In fact, I think she's almost at the level of going out and, you know, being a detective or maybe an agent for some organization. Who knows? But she's doing great. Now, I also have my dad. And I always credit my dad, Jim O'Shea. He's got the same name. Really for helping me nudge me in the direction, but also letting me understand it's not just a job. It's a calling, it's a career, and you got to have the mindset and be physically prepared for it. And he was a big part of my decision. He's also here tonight with Terry, his partner. Now, Terry, you should know, is a resident,
yeah.
a voting constituent, so please keep that in mind. And has been for over 25 years, correct? 40 years, see? I was right on target there. Wasn't I? You know, I have my brother Matt here.
Yeah.
And he's always been support. Now, it's kind of unique. Not only do I have one of my attorneys in the room tonight, I actually have my accountant in the room. So if you guys have any questions for me, I am available through counsel and financial. But Kerry Hall's also a resident, been a close friend. We used to play basketball together for a number of years. And I think he injured me a couple of times. He's very good. Sarah, Matt's wife, is here tonight.
Yeah.
And Sarah's amazing, been very supportive, and comes a little bit from the public service and government background. And I also want to recognize Connor. Connor is a future, probably Olympic soccer star.
Yeah.
And he's always been great, you know, to have around. And between my daughter and Connor, a lot of laughing, but I don't know what they're laughing about because they're always looking at their phones. So I'm not sure what's going on with that, but. Really, tonight is just to recognize all the great people that have been part of my life all these years or are part of my life now. And I know the next generation of officers that are here, they're gonna take it next level. You're going to see they have a good base. And what's important is they really care about each other. There's not really a segmented organization or really cliques. they truly enjoy coming to work and also spending time out of work with each other also. So what I'm going to say for now is that's all. And, you know, I'll be available for a few minutes here and, of course, cake and comments. But really, thank you for everything. And I look forward. I'm still be in the area. And, of course, I'll be available to assist as needed.
Oh, good.
Well, thank you. Yeah. So, we will have, we'll pause the meeting so we can enjoy cake and coffee or, you know, with you so we can celebrate a little bit. Before we, if any of the other trustees would like to, or Matt or anybody else would like to say something, please, I guess this would be the time, but let me just say to you, Jim, boy, you have been a treasure for us in so many ways. I too have gone through three chiefs here in River Forest, and the very first chief that we hired, we did not hire in the department, if you recall, at least when I was here. And I think one thing you've taught us is obviously promote within and have a succession plan within, because that's when you build, you know, a loyalty and build a great team. And so you've taught me that to build that team. You've also taught me a lot about how police work in terms of staffing. And so for that, I'm very appreciative. I would have never known what lateral promoting is or lateral recruiting. But boy, is that important when you think about it. All the things that you've done initiative-wise, I mean, the whole camera technology that you've brought to River Forest has been nothing but a great, I think, been a great, our residents love it, the amount of positive response that we get from our residents. The other major program that you've initiated, and it was based on some of the civil unrest, was our quarterly community meetings. And you really took that on to say, listen, I want community engagement with our residents. That was big, because when most communities were just trying to figure out how to handle, you kind of engaged yourself with our community and said, I want to learn more. I want to be part of the community and discuss issues versus let them fester. So for that, I appreciate it. And the fact that we are fully staffed and continue to be fully staffed, that doesn't happen. it happens because someone like Jim consistently fights for what's right for the police department and fights for what's needed for his, you know, his police officers. So for that, I appreciate that as well. Jim, you've been an awesome person to work with. I'm going to certainly miss our conversations, but you've been great. You've taught me a lot, and you've been so good. River Forest. We are definitely a safer and better community because of you. So thanks.
Thank you.
Definitely. I just want to share a quick story. So 12 years ago, my house had been broken into. I came home and my window was broken and the door was open. And so immediately my adrenaline went to 100. So I go in the house and I started screaming because I thought somebody was still there. And I'm like, get out of my house. You get out of my house right now. I'm going to get you. You get out of my house. I call my wife and I'm like, I don't know. He's still in the building. He's still in the building. She says, Ken, go outside and call the police. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll do that. So then I went outside and called the police. And then Chief O'Shea, you came over and you calmed me down. You got to search the house. You told me about, I just learned a lot that night about, you know, where people go when they rob a house, you know, what areas they go to, and you just explained it to me and you calmed me down. And I can't thank you enough for that, because I was definitely a crazy man at that point. So I just appreciate you for that.
Yeah,
so.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Kathy, can I say something?
Yes, go ahead, Russ.
Okay. Yes. I just want to add, I agree with everyone else's comments, and Chief O'Shea, I just also want to emphasize that besides your dedication and your police officers' dedication to our public safety and safety of residents, you also model reaching out in community service, not only for safety reasons, but for community and terrific outreach. Because I know with our seniors here, they love you and the support your officers. I know you reached out in terms of dementia-friendly training and helping our community in terms of that. But I also have seen your officers stopping by and saying hello to the kids and making our children in our village feel very comfortable with all of your officers. And that only can come from the modeling you have done, not only in your quarterly meetings, but and everything you do or everything you did for us. So again, kudos to you. Kudos to your officers, and thank you very much for all your service.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Jim, sorry couldn't be there this evening. But congratulations to you and your family. Another new adventure coming up for you. So maybe we'll connect on the other side of the border for a beer. So thanks again.
Sounds good, Bob.
Thanks. Thank you.
I'd just like to add that in working with you over the past several years, your level of commitment to always hearing out other points of view around policing and what can be done around the community, hearing you've always have stepped up. Every time I've offered up a program or training, often you guys have already done it already, or you are willing to do it, and just looking to always make the police force better than what it is already, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you, Erica.
I'd like to thank you as well and echo the comments that have already been made. And as Erica mentioned, the programs that you've initiated makes me think of the program that you and I worked to bring to River Force, which is the ABLE program, the Active Bystander for Law Enforcement program, which I think is very important for our police department. So thanks so much for everything, especially including that, and for your service.
Thank you, Katie.
I'll just add one thing. I'd like to thank your team for breaking up the party at my house about a year ago. I really didn't want to do it, and it was a big help, so thank you.
Well, super. All right. Well, let's pause for a moment here and have some cake and coffee and just enjoy a little bit of time with the families, and then we'll get back to a little bit of our business if that's okay. All right, we'll just pause, right? We can pause. All right, very good. Now we're back. Do we have any citizens' comments? I'm sorry. None. Okay. All right. That brings us to the elected official comments and announcements. So maybe I'd ask Ken, won't you? Oh, yeah, Bob, actually. I'm sorry. Bob, can you go first?
Sure.
Thank you.
I just have two things tonight. First of all, for those who don't know, the reason Trustee Gillis isn't with us this evening is she lost her mother last week, and they are attending to her needs, taking care of her funeral and stuff in New York. So our condolences go out to Lisa, Rick, and the Gillis family.
Yeah.
And then Saturday night, I had the opportunity to attend the Thrive annual spring fundraiser. Great organization. Like everybody else in this world who's involved in social services and dealing with the public, they're very concerned about their funding. And so they just took on some more office space to increase their services. And so this this benefit was very important to them, and I think they did pretty well and raised a lot of money. But when you're in a giving mode, they're a good organization who serves our community, serves Oak Park, and it was great to see Village President Skayman from Oak Park and Village President Rory from Forest Park there. So it was a great turnout and for a great evening. So those are the only two things I have.
Okay, thanks, Bob. Okay, Ken?
I have no comments. I'll save my comments for my last meeting, the next meeting. Just to say hello to Fenwick, though. Always like to say hello to you guys. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Katie?
Thanks. Just a couple comments. One is to put on everyone's calendar our fourth annual River Forest Juneteenth flag raising event, which is going to be held at the public library again this year. But it's a different time of day. It's been in the middle of the day before, and now it's going to be from 4 to 6 p.m. And afterwards, there's going to be live music. Free, there will be food, and there'll be a wonderful program, once again, led by our trustee Johnson. So everyone is invited. And we're also looking for volunteers. So if anyone's interested in volunteering, you could reach out to Trish or me at this point.
What kind of volunteering would you need?
Setup, breakdown. We are using volunteers that we already have set up right now for signing in, and there will be a raffle. So there's also a ticket handout situation.
Great, thank you.
And who knows what else we need volunteers for? There's always something comes up.
Right.
Yeah, okay. And then the other thing I was going to mention, and Bob, you reminded me of this, it's sort of the season of fundraisers and galas. And right now is the One Earth Film Fest. And I attended a couple of the launch party and another event that a lot of our River Forest and Oak Park friends have been involved with the One Earth Film Fest for many years. And some of them were on the panels. Some of them were our founders. And I encourage you to support that, attend events. It's ending soon. It's, you know, only like a week to 10 days. But some of their events are in our neighborhood. Some are further afield, but some are in River Forest. There was one at least at Dominican. I don't know the schedule off the top of my head, but you can find it online. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. John?
Nothing to add. Thanks.
Okay. Rez?
Just one thing, I want to just put in everybody's radar, the Memorial Day Parade coming around the corner, and also it's our 100th anniversary, so welcoming and inviting everyone to be there, and kudos to the Kiwanis, who's taking a lot of the lead on this, and then of course there's a number of participants on this, so I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure we'll hear more as we get approach that. So thank you.
Thanks, Rez. Okay, thank you. Erica?
I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, the Menominee, Potawatomi Nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. Not too much for me to report today. I did want to mention for the Memorial Day Parade, and there is a sign up for folks who are active, inactive, or veterans, retired, of armed services. And so I think we have a link on our website. I do it every year for my husband. And if you tried this year and there wasn't a veteran option, try again because it's there now. So.
Yeah, great. Thanks. Yeah, I want to emphasize and echo what everybody said in terms of some of the galas and the One Earth Film Festival, Katie. You're right. It is such a great event with so many great films, and to think that many of you and others really kind of started it here. So what a great thing. And I'm sorry I missed the Thrive. They are a great organization. I have nothing really to add other than I want to emphasize Memorial Day Parade. We do have a polling out there. So you know, if you get up on the newsletter or the website, we're trying to poll and see what people like and what we're trying to create. We will have a business bash, which will be vendors and fun events and a band and everything. And we just want to make sure people know about it and stay after the traditional, you know, ceremony that we'll have as well. So should be fun. And it marks the 100th anniversary, which is, of course, a huge milestone. So that's all I have. We'll move to the consent agenda items. If I can get a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda A through G.
I'm sorry. I would like to make a motion to approve consent agenda items A through G.
Second.
Okay, great. Any comments or questions regarding these items? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to read it out loud and then take the vote.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, April 14th, 2025. B, administration department report. C, consideration of 2025 and 2026 compensation plan for approval ordinance. D, consideration of fiscal year 2026 operating budget for approval ordinance. E, consideration of employee handbook for approval resolution. F, award of contract, 2025 Water Main Improvement Project Construction, Morrow Sewer Construction Incorporated, $427,630.50. G, authorization to sell surplus property, Public Works 2015 Ford F-350 Ordinance. Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you so much. So we'll move on to the recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. And the one up is from the Development Review Board, which is the Constitution Park Improvement Ordinance. And I think both Mike Slutton and Mike Grant are here to talk about it. So welcome.
Hear me? Okay.
Yep. Yes.
You put up the PowerPoint. Yes.
So what's happened here, Fenwick folks, is that we're going to put a presentation up that's going to go through some of the changes that the Park District would like to for us to grant. They've already gone through one series of reviews with our village, and now this is the final vote to give them the approval to move ahead with their changes at Constitution Park.
There you go. We can go right to a vote then, right?
Yeah. Oh, we can. If you want.
The DBR meeting? Yes. There we go. Okay.
All right.
Great. Well, thanks again.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm Mike Slutton. I'm the executive director of the Park District, and with me is
Mike Grant, who is the board president. So we're here tonight to talk about the project at Constitution Park, of the redevelopment of the Constitution Park. The Park District spent 24 months on this so far. We've held numerous meetings, soliciting resident feedback. The first of those meetings was in July of 2023, and then they went on over a year process into August of 2024. So of the meetings that we had, the first meeting again was July 2023. There was no concerns on the proposed site plan from those who attended. All the discussion was basically on the memorial trees in the park and their placement, and ensuring that that wasn't going to get lost as part of the process. The following two meetings that we had in August and September of 2023 focused on the inclusion design of the playground. And you'll see that final design here coming up when we do in a couple slides. The last meeting we had was last August, 2024. Nobody attended that meeting. So, and in addition, now we've presented once to the Village Board, twice to the DBR. And obviously, we're back here again for the second time. This project has a budget of $1.6 million. Mm-hmm. Well, is there an on button? There we go. Thank you. Oh, it's not going again. Maybe it's the other. Oh, there we go. Okay. So this is Constitution Park right now. It is bordered to the south by Willard School, D90 property, and then the other streets are Greenfield, Ashland, and Franklin. The amenities on the park include, right now we have two playgrounds, a 2 to 5 year old and a 12 year old playground at the northwest corner of the park. We have a lighted dual sand volleyball courts or an ice rink in the winter. We have a soccer field. It's a smaller field. It's a 5v5. If you're a soccer fan, you'll know what that means, but it's a smaller field. And we have a ball field. And the ball field straddles both over the Park District and D90 property. So if you look at that foul line, that's about the property line where we're at right now. So, like I said, what we're proposing is a redevelopment of the space and redevelopment of the adjacent land on Willard that will become future. We'll be moving the soccer field. What we're going to be doing here is, I'm going to start with this. I don't have to go ahead. We'll be constructing a new all-inclusive 2 to 12 year old playground. We'll be reorienting the sand volleyball ice rink. It's the same size. It's just being reoriented with.
Mike, I'm going to point these out.
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good to see where.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, Mike.
All right.
So you want to show them where the playground is, Mike?
Yeah, this is where the old playground is. So
right.
This is northwest. So this will be green space and move a much bigger playground up here. Mike will give you details and pictures on that.
All right.
It's a pretty beat up softball field that's on the Willard property that sits this way. So instead of that, that'll be green space, and then we'll flip it that way. And that soccer field that's kind of in the middle will be in the outfield.
Right. And then to my right would be the new sand volleyball ice rink. Again, it'll be the same size that's out there with new LED lighting. And then between the playground and the sand volleyball would be the new amenity, really. We're not really changing the use except for this one item, and that would be a new 20 by 20 shelter and a two individual bathrooms for you. Over at Washington Commons, it's the same bathroom arrangement, same look right there. If you took that and just added another 20 by 20 shelter onto it, that's what it would look like.
Into force with the turnaround.
Right. So as Mike mentioned, that we will then be taking the land where the ball field is on D90, and that will be converted into the new 5v5 soccer field. It also gives D90 some more opportunities for efforts, plans that they may have in the future for school use over there.
Did D90 ask you to do this? Did they want their land back?
I didn't talk to them directly, Mike.
So we proposed a project to D90.
Ah.
Right.
Okay. Because you I guess you had a deal to use their land before for that.
So right now we have an agreement that we use the ball field and the land further south. When you get to the south end.
Yep.
So we're already maintaining all that land as part of our intergovernmental agreement with D90. So we just felt it would be for the future. Because D90 has ideas for some plans in the future. I think that if we get the ball field onto our property and it's Park District ball field, because we're the primary user of it, it would make more sense to have it on our property. And then that would free up even, it's going to be a soccer field, but it has options for D90 if they need it in the future.
Can I ask a question about this configuration? You may have answered it before, but I can't remember. So for the ball field and the soccer field close together, how far away are those actually? Because I'm thinking about like parents and coaches and kids standing on those sidelines of the soccer field, and what's the potential?
Well, the ball field and the soccer field would not be used at the same time. Okay. That you're right, right. So if the ball field's in use, the soccer field will not be unused.
Okay. Thanks.
Most of the time, so the ball field uses spring. That's when River Forest Youth Baseball uses it. It wouldn't be lined for soccer during the spring months anyways. It would be a fall.
So the RFYSO wouldn't use it?
Hmm?
The RF youth soccer group? Would they use, because they have spring.
They would be using it to be one of the fall sites because we rotate fields around.
Okay. They have spring too, though, I think, right?
The other field that would be on Willard property or D90 property, because River Forest Youth Soccer still does have a Sunday league. So that would be a possibility for them. Again, we try to rotate out at least one of those fields that are over there would not be in use for the season.
Okay.
Okay. Lost it. There we go. Okay, so here's I got two views of the playground that we'll be ordering. Again, it's all inclusive. So you can see the rampage on it. It's available for individuals in wheelchairs or any other disabilities that would need assistance. There are swings on it too. Somebody asked if there are swings. There are swings. They're showing the baby swings are there. There are belt swings also on the site. It's hidden behind everything. You can't see it in those plans. There it is. Yeah, it's so. Just give you an idea of what it's going to look like. This is a rendering that we started with the shelter. So you can, it gives you the scope of the size of what the shelter will be. There won't be a cupola on top. The roof line won't be as steep because we want to keep it under 16 foot height. But you can understand at least how the bathrooms and the shelter area relate to each other. So this is the.
Can I ask a question about that image you just had up?
Yeah.
Yes. So that's going to have the bathrooms. The only internal part is going to be bathrooms, right?
Right. So the stone structure, which ours is going to be stone too, that was two bathrooms and just a small utility room for the meter and lightning detection devices and, you know, whatever items we need in there for operation of the park.
Okay. And I know that there was discussion at the DRB about the defibrillator and the location of that.
Which one?
The AED.
Yeah. It would be on. So if you looked at it at that picture there, where that green door is on the over on the structure there, that's about where it would probably be located. So our bathrooms, both doors face north, so they're facing the playground. Where this one, it's showing bathroom doors on both sides. Ours will all the doors will all be on the same side on ours.
And the defibrillator will also be there on the same
side. The defibrillator would then be located by the bathroom facing the bath. I'm sorry, by the playground or the sitting area. You can go back. So you can see that round, the patio.
Just above the building, just to the east of the building?
Right. Between the playground and the sand volleyball, you see that circular structure there. Mm-hmm. So it would be on that side of the building. That's where we would be anticipating. So it's in view of everybody.
Okay.
You can with see the defibrillator, is that something that's only accessible by the fire department then, if needed, or
is what was the question?
For the defibrillator that's going to be on the next to the green door, is that something that's only accessible by the fire department? Is it like locked up, or can anybody bring it down? And
Trustee Bachner.
You know, we haven't finalized what cabinet we're getting. The defibrillator is the defibrillator. It's the cabinet that's.
So the intent and the condition that was placed on there as from the development review board was a publicly accessible. So it would be on the exterior of the building, and it would be accessible for any visitor to the park.
So it could be used for anybody.
Correct.
Right. Correct.
By anybody.
Yes. Sorry, Kate. Yeah.
Well, let's hope not. But...
well,
but it's good. It's there.
It's a question that I have too about who can use it, and
it'd be open to anybody.
Right.
Correct.
And there'll be directions on it for how to use it.
The defibrillator will have directions on the defibrillator itself. There will be defibrillator when you use it. Tells you well. I mean, you can.
So, yeah, it's an AED, so it's an automated external defibrillator. Anybody in the public can use it. It shows you how to put the pads on real quick, and then it actually just walks. It verbally will walk you through the steps, and it won't administer. You push the button, it walks you through. It'll tell you shock advised, and then it'll shock on its own. It won't shock unless the heart's in a certain. It's called. VFib, ventricular fibrillation. So it does it all automatically. Basically, all the bystander is doing is applying the pads to the patient, and then it's hands-free after that.
I want to believe that everybody will use it when it needs to be used, but I'm just thinking about, like, you know, kids on a park and just pulling it off to kind of mess with it or something.
No, it'll be secure. In,
yeah.
It's like almost like a fire extinguisher cabinet.
Okay.
It's secure, but you can push a piece of plastic, so, depending on what case.
Right. So O-Park's unit, you open the door, it calls 911 automatically. It takes a picture of you and calls 911 automatically. So
it'll automatically notify.
Fire's already notified and respond.
Yes, defibrillator's in use. So
that's good to know. Yeah.
And Chief, do you think, you know, picturing myself in an emergency situation and going to grab it and, you know, trying to use it for the first time in that situation, I imagine I'd be a little flustered. Would you recommend that we have some sort of training for that, like the police department, park district offer a training session for like coaches or parents or anyone who wants to training?
Yeah, we offer the department if you have some kind of sample for you. Sure. Yep. Yeah.
So we actually already do training with the fire department. So that's all being provided now.
So CPR, we also going to include that in our CPR training when we do it, if the group that comes in wants it, and stop the bleed, all those things we can cover in one session. So we are already working with the park district doing CPR and those type of things. So
I think that's great.
The public can come in too if they want that added to their CPR program.
Because this is our first, as far as I know, this is our first public AED in the parks, right?
In the parks. We have them in the community.
We have them here
in the community center. So, and
we also have them in our buildings. That's required. Yeah. So inside.
We have had two saves in the community center in the last 5 or 6 years for people that went down, and public used the defibrillator in those, both of those instances, they fully recovered. So.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I like the idea of including it in the training. And also what it also does is it lets those who are being trained know that actually it's there.
Yeah.
Correct. Yep.
That's a good point.
Okay. So here is the design of the structure, the difference between what you saw before and this one. Ours is steel. It's a steel structure. We're not. It'll have a wood ceiling to it underneath, but the support is a steel beams and steel posts. It will be a pep brick around the bathrooms. Again, it's identical if you go over to Washington Square and look at it. It'll look just like that. This is the photometrics. So you can see the lights do not spill outside of the park property. Around the perimeter of the sand volleyball, it's probably about 15 feet. The spillage goes beyond the play zone area. Again, yeah, Park District and D90 have an agreement to utilize the green space, and we've already had an agreement to relocate the ball field on Park District property and then put the soccer field on D90 property. As far as landscaping have up there, that probably can be updated. We've lost a couple more trees, I think. So we have some locusts, maple, that will need to be that will be removed. We have a couple poor quality trees that still are there that would have been removed. The memorial trees will either be replaced or relocated depending on their condition. We're estimating 88 inches of diameter. And we will be locating that diameter or that total diameter back in the park. So here's the landscape plan. Our trees in here are going to be tulip trees, plane trees, oaks, elms, and firs. So the hardwoods will all be 3-inch and the firs are 6 to 7 foot tall. And then we did do a traffic parking study on this with Erickson Engineering and Associates. And I'm sure they have the report, but the conclusion was the park would not materially impact the traffic or parking conditions of the park. So again, the end of the day was it's really the impact of the shelter and the bathrooms on the park more than anything else.
Mike, one of the conditions that the DRB asked for was the consideration of the possibility of reconfiguring the bathroom plaza and upgrading the building materials. Can you talk a little bit about what they are asking for and what you're doing? And
they didn't ask for, there was some discussion by one.
Sure. So the in regards to the material for the building, one of the members of the DRB asked that there was consideration for the material that's on the sign that was on the first slide of the stone match on the building. And then also there was discussion by the DRB that the orientation of the building be taken into consideration. However, it's not necessarily a condition of approval because it's not necessarily the role to change the design of where those different features of the park are. But the DRB felt it was important enough to ask that the park district look into that to making those changes.
Okay. And so what you're saying is it's not the role of the DRB to dictate that to the applicant?
So where are we with it? That's a great question. I mean, so.
What? In terms of
So the discussion was, yeah, reorienting or moving the doors. We don't believe that was the right decision. Where we have them located is within view sight of the playground, which is where we want the mothers to see the kids going in and out of the bathrooms versus mm-hmm. going around blind spots.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the material, we're using the same. We're trying to see consistent with our look and our parks. We're using the cut stone already at one park. It's already been approved by the village before. So we think it's the right fit for that site.
And I'll add that staff agrees with the park district on in terms of the orientation of where the bathroom doors are, just so it's visible from a security standpoint.
Thank you.
Matt, I think you might be better. Can you talk through the setbacks and the differences and those variances?
Sure, I sure can. So the ordinance for the plan development includes 5 different site development allowances, or effectively their variations for the project. This property is zoned public recreational institutional, PRI, as commonly referred to as. And the zoning code requires that no structures be within 50 feet of the property line on the sides that front the street. In this case, that would be 3 different the northeast and west sides. So nothing could be within 50 feet per the zoning code. The allowances that are included in the ordinance allow for there to be structures within that 50 feet. In this case, it's a bench on the east side, and on the west side of the property would be the ball field fence and the dugout fence. nothing that would be really a nuisance to any neighbors or anything like that. It's more of those counted structures per our zoning code, so they need that allowance. And then on the south side of the property, it's not fronting a street. It's a neighboring PRI property. There's 25-foot setback required, but the dugout fence is about 15 feet from the property line, so that the site development allowance in there allows that to take place. So there's four setback allowances and then one for parking. There's no on-site parking included as the project. There wasn't on-site parking prior to this project, but because it's a significant renovation, it needed an allowance to permit that. As Mike mentioned, there really isn't that change to the use of the park. There's a lot of parking on the three streets there, and also the parking lot that the at Willard School. So we don't expect there to be an adverse impact, but in order to be compliant with the code, they would need that allowance.
To me, those for the setbacks, everything seems reasonable. What are the typical reasons for where our code stands in terms of number of feet? And
I think that when the zoning code was created, there's the idea that you want the front yards to be open, and especially in town here where we have a lot of, you know, preference for kind of open space, and it minimizes the impact on neighbors. You wouldn't want necessarily building right up against the property line, especially in this zoning district, PRI, where it would be something more institutional use and open space. So that's where that thought comes in.
Okay.
A similar allowances were needed for the Keystone Park tennis court projects, just because the certain court fencing and the batting cage were just a little closer to the property line than would be allowed by.
Okay. Code. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't for any emergency, like police or EMT. But again, like I said, it seems reasonable to me.
So the new ball field is actually further off the sidewalk than the existing one.
Good point.
The new playground is further away from the street than the existing one.
Thanks.
And the Development Review Board unanimously voted to recommend approval of the project with those five allowances, then also the conditions, which included the AED that we discussed, and also the installation of rule signage and security cameras.
Just quickly, pending the approval of everything, what kind of timeline would it take to get to
that? So we're moving along with things right now to kind of preempt. Our goal would be still to mid-June, so I'm about 2 months out, break ground. We're going out to bid on May 15th on project. And the board has already approved a couple of the components, but we're waiting for this meeting to sign the paperwork that we've already pre-bid out. Like the playground equipment is a separate bid that will not go through the bidding contract to save us some money, and the structure itself, the shelter is ready to go.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions, Bob or Rez? No, I thought the layout looks very reasonable and very thoughtful. I like the shelter a lot. I mean, it's in the volleyball. All right. Sounds like we have no further questions or comments. So let's take the vote. Get it over with.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Okay. Good luck, you guys. Thank you. Yes, of course.
Thank you. Thank you, board, for allowing us to do this for mostly our kids. The board has spent a lot of time and toiled over making sure that this part of our park system was accessible for anyone. And I think that we've done that, and it's going to be wonderful. Breaking ground, not too long, but once it's ready to go, please come visit it. There'll be a lot of happy kids.
Oh, Thank you. Thanks, yeah. Mike.
You know, I want to add, Mike, I was at, because I'm a neighbor of this park, I get the notice of the meetings, the neighbor meetings, and I went to the meeting where we had a robust discussion about making it more accessible for those who need more accessibility. And so I appreciate that you listened to that.
Yeah.
It takes a village, right? Yeah. Literally, it takes a village. So, yeah, thank you.
Yep. Good stuff. Great. Thank you very much, Mike and Mike. Okay. All right. So we'll move on to the item B, Zoning Board of Approvals, a variation request. If I can get a motion.
Sure. I move to approve an ordinance granting the requested variation to section 10-9-7 of the zoning code at 633 William Street.
Second.
Okay. Yep. I think Erica beat you, Bob. So, all right. Is there? Yep, Jessica, yep, please.
Good evening. I don't have a presentation. So the residents at this address are looking to move their garage forward. So they currently have a two-car garage that is set back from the sidewalk and the property line, as it should be. And right now they have two small children that are looking to play, and they play on the driveway in front of the garage, which then puts the children at risk of balls going into the street. Mm-hmm. And so they're seeking to pick up the garage and move it the exact length of the garage forward, which then would require a variance because they're within, I believe, 2 feet of the property line. And so that is what's before you tonight. They're looking for a variation to the secondary side yard setback to allow them to have that garage picked up and moved. The pad in the back that was formerly the interior of the garage would be left as it is, so the children could then play at that point. During the public hearing, a neighbor brought forth a comment regarding drainage, and this was considered. Since there is no change to the existing lot coverage, we did look at the draining plan, but there are very little concerns because the impacted neighbor actually would be even less impacted because the draining would be adjusted due to the movement of the structure. And at that point, the resident was satisfied. The neighbor was satisfied.
And Jessica, the percentage of impermeable surface area is not increasing, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Thank you.
Can I ask that I don't know if we use an external person or an internal person. We had a situation over on Augusta where we were kind of told the same thing by a property owner. And the neighbor to the north of this project has had nothing but problems over the years. So, you know, Matt or Jack, I don't know if there's an external person we can get to sign off on this from an engineering standpoint, but I think we need to do a little due diligence to make sure that happens and we don't have a long-term issue.
Absolutely. So that is part of our inspection process. The village reserves the right to ensure that there are no negative impacts on the neighbors. So if something does change due to a particular rainfall, or we see what we could not see in simple drawings, then we do have the right to go back and talk to the applicant to discuss the drainage.
So, question, maybe I'm not understanding this, but if you move the garage forward, wouldn't you increase permeable surface because you're shortening the apron?
No, due to the fact that the cement that was in the garage is now just behind the garage.
So they're going to leave that.
So they're leaving all of it. So, and the width of the pad, if you look at the perforated rectangle here, mm-hmm. That is the width, the exact size of the garage. So they're able to literally pick up the structure and push it forward. I believe it's, don't quote me on it, I think it's like 18 feet or 20 feet. Whatever the exact dimensions of that garage are, they're able to pick it up and move it forward. So it's not, there's not going to be any additional cement or lot coverage at that point.
And if I can to Trustee O'Connell. For residential projects, typically would be reviewed by staff, but if there we can, due to the concerns that a neighbor had, we can certainly consider reaching out to some of our engineering firms out there. Or if the other case where there's continuing issues, as Jessica mentioned, there are conditions when a permit is issued that if there's issues come back later, that those can be fixed, or those need to be fixed by the project, we can have our own engineers or our third party consultants look at those too.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
We have had cases where we have had to work with projects after the fact where things might have been not considered or not completed, or something, downspouts weren't installed correctly, or things like that. So there are cases after the project where there is follow-up needed. And I think for the most part, we have addressed those issues.
Any other questions?
Seems pretty simple. All right. Super. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you very much. So hearing no further questions or comments, I'd ask the clerk to take the vote.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we have no executive session this evening. So I'll ask for an adjournment.
And go for it.
All right. I would like to make a motion, maybe my last motion, I guess.
You still got next time.
I still got some more. Okay. To adjourn today's meeting.
Second. All right.
Second.
All right.
Well, give it to.
All right. We'll give it to Rez.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bochner.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
President Adusi.
Yes.